As I stand here today, I do declare to you that I will preach the word of God, because I just believe in my heart that he have anointed me to do this, and not because of me, but because of him. And every one of us have something that we should be doing for the Lord. And everybody is not supposed to stand behind a rostrum and preach, as we call preach. But the Greek word for preach is proclaiming. That means you just speak it out and you talk it to somebody else. And I said this before, and some of you probably will remember me having said this in a setting of or somebody doing something at the beginning of school, and parents and teachers were in there, and the lecturer asked the question, how many teachers do we have in the building? Said, if you're a teacher, will you stand? And a lot of parents didn't stand because they didn't see themselves as teachers. Little did they know that they had been the child's first teacher. Why do you tell us that, Baggett? Because you are, every one of you, ministers of God. And that means you ought to be telling somebody about this God that we serve. I'm glad you asked. I heard you when you asked, how can I do that? More than talking, you can show them. Some people won't listen to you, won't listen to me, but they will watch you. And they will observe what you're doing and how you're living. And some of the hardest people to minister to, help me, Holy Ghost, don't look around. Don't look around. Look at me. Are the people that's in your family. Your immediate family, your extended family, your church family, your work family. They are the hard, but you can do it. You just got to stay there. You just got to stay there. And if you stay there, God's going to bless you. And you'll see that you're ministering to somebody. And we're not going to tell you when you're ministering to us. We'll just take it and go ahead on. For our subject today, the coming again of Jesus Christ. The coming again of Jesus Christ. That's the subject, because at the time where this writing is, he had been here one time. But I stopped by to tell you, he's coming again. He is coming again. And the Bible tells us this. This passage begins a new subject for the people at Thessalonica. The subject that intrigued people and offer the most glorious hope to man and his world. If you are a believer, I stop by to tell you that Jesus Christ is coming again. They didn't treat him so bad the first time that he's not coming back. He is coming back. And I'm glad you want to know, because he said he would be back. And he is not a man that he is a liar. He's Lord God Almighty, and he is coming back. The subject of the return of Jesus Christ to earth and the resurrection of the dead, it is a subject that men must study, and he too. For the return of the Lord will not only bring blessing for the believers, it will launch one of the most terrifying judgments upon the unbelievers. Can I just tell you, there are two groups of people, believers and unbelievers. It's not your family and their family. It's believers and unbelievers. That's the only two groups. He will, when he returns, you will have what you have been looking for if you are a believer. and that is the return of Christ. If you are not a believer, you will have what you have not been looking for, and that's eternity in hell. There are only two places to go, heaven or hell. That's all. He's coming back, and he's coming for those that have received him as Lord and Savior. That's it. You just got to receive him. And after you receive him, you got to live just like you have received him. Just got 3 points. And let me try to get you to where Paul is in writing this letter to the church at Thessalonica. He had started this church, and they had been in existence for a while, and they were being persecuted. They were a church that had come out of the pagan world. And Paul had stopped by and started a church and had left them and gone someplace else. And they were being persecuted by those people that did not want them to be serving this God, this man called Jesus Christ, who had been born of a virgin, crucified and resurrected and gone back to heaven. They just did not want that. In their thinking and believing, that was something that could not happen. And don't you think they are weird then? We have some people now that are at that same place. Their concern was, that's point number one, the concern. Will believers be resurrected when Christ returns? If you have had a loved one to die, and you knew that they were saved, you have the opportunity to see them again if you become a believer. And the church at Thessalonica were wondering what was going to happen to those believers that had died. And since Christ had not returned yet. See, when you first start something and it's new to you, you have great expectations, but you don't know everything that you need to know about it. I know most of y'all probably knew everything about everything when you first started. To all you young people that's still at home, I wish you'd hurry up and find a job before you find out that you don't know everything. So you can see what it's like paying light bills and water bills and grocery bills and all those other bills, car notes and insurance. Find out you don't. That's the way it is when you are living for God when you first come to Christ. And it's like that way after you get saved, and especially if you're a minister and you start pastoring people, you find out. Help me, Holy Ghost. Everybody. Not every day always as holy as you think they ought to be. And that goes for the preacher too. None of us are complete simply because we are still here inhaling and exhaling. They were worried about their loved ones that had died. Would they share in the resurrection when Christ returned to the earth? I remember the church at Thessalonica had just been founded, and it was brand new. It was also being bitterly persecuted and was under savage attack from the world. Some of the believers were dying. Perhaps some were even being martyred. And Christ had not yet returned. They were eagerly looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of Jesus Christ. Would the believers that had died since we started this church, would the believers be resurrected when Christ returned? They knew the gospel. But what about our loved ones who have gone on away from here, and I don't see them? What's going to happen when he comes back to them? Will they be resurrected? What will happen to them? Where will they spend eternity? Will they have a part in this spectacular return of Jesus Christ to the earth? Will they have the privilege of sharing in the majestic display of God's people and the glorious reunion of the living believers with Christ? There was all kind of concerns about the resurrection, and they arose in the mind of the people at Thessalonica. And can I just say, stop and pause right here? It arose more in the mind of the people in Thessalonica. Some of them are right here in Crestview. Some of them are right here at 603 MLK at this particular time. Because when you do not believe in this gospel from the spiritual side, and because of faith and because Christ said it, it's hard to believe. Because we apply our intellectual, our intelligence, all this that I know. We apply it. And I can say that and not talk about any of you all. I can just talk about me. Because one time I said, I have seen no people that they had carried to Milligan Cemetery. I haven't seen them again. And you going to tell me, preacher, that the dead will rise again? See, we forget sometimes the influence that sin have upon our thinking. I know y'all might have been holy and saved all your lives, but I know I haven't. And when we get to the place where we question what God says, you're going to believe if you show enough question what God said and don't believe what he said. If you don't question him out of your ignorance, I questioned him out of what I thought was my intelligence. Because this was just writing in a book. Now, don't get up and leave and stop serving God because I'm telling you the truth about me. We need to get to the place where we receive this gospel just as it is and believe it. If I don't understand it, I trust in it anyway. I believe in it anyway. And I'll get to the place where I can understand all this and accept it by faith. Amen, lights. Amen, lights. This gospel gets us to a place where we stop trusting in ourselves and all of the stuff around us. That was not the only generation. This one is at the same place where we question what God said. The Thessalonians were concerned over the loved ones who had died. They were asking questions about the resurrection and the Lord's return out of concern, not curiosity. We can question God out of our concern and because we don't understand. But if we're going to trust him, there's some things you're going to have to trust by faith because God said it. God said it, and I'm trusting in it. I'm going to believe it because God said it. Grandmama and grandpapa might have showed us how they live, but that doesn't fit today. Yes, it does. If they live close to God, it'll work today because God's the same today, tomorrow, and yesterday, and every other day, because with God, everything is now. There is no past. Paul states to them, do not be ignorant about the resurrection. We must study and grasp what God teaches and be comforted in what he said because we're trusting in him. Do not grieve excessively about believers who leave this side. Watch them We should have watched them as they lived in front of us and copy what they have done if they are believers. And then we will be able to see them again. Death is not something that we like to talk about. It's a no-no, because this is why a lot of us are not prepared when it happens to us, because we don't want to talk about it. We just think we're going to be here forever. No, if he tarries, he promised us 70. That's 70 years. He promised us that. You get that, and anything past that's a blessing. But you won't be here forever if Christ tarries. Now, if he come today, you'll be here. And some of us will be wondering why somebody else is not here that's normally here, and we see their clothes laying over there on the floor, because they will be raptured out of here because they are believers. But they were worried about their loved ones who had passed and was wondering if they would be in the resurrection. And that's why he tells us not to grieve excessively about those who will pass away from this side before Christ returns. We are bound to experience some sorrow and some grief, but we are not to suffer grief like unbelievers who have no hope. Unbelievers have no hope because there is absolutely no help for unbelievers. Point number one that I just talked to you about is found in verse 13. So we just need to know that Paul does not want them to be at a place where they do not understand about the resurrection. Brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep. I would not have you to be ignorant. You need to know about them. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It's what Paul is telling them. We need to understand that every human being that is born in this world is an eternal being. You will live eternally someplace. You make the decision which place it will be. Either heaven or hell, no in between. You can't, once you get one place, you won't be able to leave. It's a one-way ticket. You buy your ticket into heaven or into hell. Right. Point number two. Departed believers will return with Christ. Verses 14 and 15. For if we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Christ, in Jesus, will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. The Thessalonians were believing that those that were alive would be the only ones that Christ would take back with him, because they were alive and they had not died. But they was missing it. This is why, go back to verse 13, where Paul said, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. I want you to know what this is, what we're talking about in the resurrection. Departed believers are with Christ. They are living with him face to face. And let me just stop right here and say, I know this may be hard for you, because you probably are thinking about a loved one that you would love to see. If they were believers, you become a believer and you will be at the same place. Now, I can't tell you whether you will see them or not,
but you'll be with Jesus. And somebody wrote a song, said, if I got Jesus, that's enough. If you're living for him and you have received him as Lord and Savior, that's your ticket right there. And can't anybody else get in on your ticket? The words with him. God will bring, and don't let me, I hope I don't confuse you when I use God and Jesus in the same breath, but they all are one. It's one. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, they're all one. God will bring the departed believers with him when he returns. When he returns, they are with him. And in order to be with him when he returns, they have to be with him now. Now. Not just as he get ready to come back. No, now. They are in the presence of the Lord. Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, talking to the man on the cross, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. This man was hanging on the cross with Jesus, and he told him, said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Today, thou shalt be with me when I come into paradise. Today, someone have said, when a believer leaves this side, before that I can blink, the Spirit is already in heaven. Yeah. That makes you think about it, don't it? You need to get ready while you yet have time. The second coming of Jesus Christ. The verse that I just talked about, what Jesus told, come from Luke 23 and 43. Departed believers are with the Lord, living face to face with him. I can't tell you what they're doing because I have not been there. But the Bible says that they are with him. We do not have to wonder where they are. When they died, they went immediately to be with the Lord in paradise. And they shall never, never, never be separated from the Lord. The word sleep in Jesus. It is those who sleep in Jesus that God will bring with him when he returns. Don't think of sleep as we know sleep as a subconscious, just laying there. No, it means that they are absent from this side. Sleep is so we will understand it on this side. Sleep in Christ, meaning that they are believers that have left this side and have gone to the other side to live in a spiritual world. It says God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. This fleshly body is made out of the earth. It cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Only a spirit can inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood shall not enter therein because it's earthly stuff. The body contains chemicals and elements that come from what's in the earth. A spirit is God. They will return with him. Those that are asleep in him, in Christ. The water is in the bottle. In it. It's not outside. It's in it. So the bottle contains the water. If believers are in Christ, inside of him, that's what was going to get you there. When you allow him to tabernacle with you, it tells us down here that we must receive him in our heart so he can live inside of us and make a difference in what's on the outside. We will come back with him because we are asleep in him. But you got to live down here in a sin-infected world
and not allow the sin to infect you. How do I do that, Baggett? Receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Does this mean you will not sin anymore? No, it does not. And I'm not putting crutches under your arm for you to sin. Do anything, I get you up on them and kick them out from under you. We need to get to the place that when we sin, we come back to the one that we have sinned against. And that's the Lord God Almighty. When believers sin, it hurts the heart of God. And you can fix it. You just repent and ask for forgiveness. The word sleep is not teaching that death is a semi-conscious state. Sleep is simply a soft word used by believers to describe the departure from this world. It is a picture of resting from the trials and the suffering of this world. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ proves that the departed believers will return to the earth with God. Jesus told them, say, if you tear down this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up again. They crucified him, put him in a borrowed tomb, stayed there 3 days and three nights. Oh, but the third day morning, he stepped out on resurrection ground. And what he did for himself, he'll do the same thing for you and for me. Brothers and sisters, can I just tell you, try to help you to understand it like I make myself understand it. When I was in sin, I was dead to Christ. I was dead and in my sin. But when I received Christ into my life and invited him into my life and had asked him to come in to save my soul, he came in my heart and then I became alive. I was dead to sin, just like Christ was dead in the grave, but he had resurrected my soul. And now my soul belonged to him because I'm living every day just like it's my last day. I want this to be my best time of my life because I'm living for Christ. And if by chance you happen to come to what they will call my funeral, I'll beat you there if you still alive, because it says the dead in Christ will rise first, and those that are alive and after will be caught up in the air, and so shall we ever be with him. We got a blessing, we got a hope that the unbelievers do not have. They may tell you, and I used to say this too, when I die and go to hell, we gonna have a party, and we gonna party all the time. I was lying through my teeth. I didn't know any better, but now I know better. I told you this before, and one time I felt like if I died and went to hell, as soon as I got there and I burned up, it would all be over. But reading the Bible, I know now it's not gonna be over. I'm gonna be an eternal being if I'm in hell, and I'm gonna burn as long as I'm there, and God won't let you get out, because I would have made a decision. I would have rejected his son. I would not want to have been with him when he come back after his church. You got to understand that the dead in Christ will return with Christ. That's a happy good time. That's why sometimes at funerals, when there is a believer, it's no sadness and it's no crying, because they know where they're going. They're going to be with the Lord, and so shall they ever be with the Lord. You got to understand, I know this might not be what you come for the first Sunday in the year to hear about dying and coming back with Jesus, but you need to make preparation. This is the beginning of another year. And when you die and go to Christ, that will be the beginning of another life. You'll be there. I can't tell you how long you'll be there.
there, but I know what the word is to describe how long you will be there. It says everlasting to everlasting, all eternity. That's the only thing I know that's on the other side of eternity is eternity. And I'm going to be with him when he comes back if I happen to leave this side. But if not, I pray that you will be there too. Oh, Lord, everyone which seeth the Son will be there. If you have received him as Lord and Savior, I know you don't wish you'd leave here. Things haven't got that bad for you yet. But when God get ready for you, everything will be all right. I went to Mother Van's funeral yesterday, and one of them stood up and said, I got my bag packed. I'm ready to go. She kept her bag packed because she had made reservations. Brothers and sisters, you got to do the same thing. You know how it is. We try to beat the expense of tickets sometime for next year, for traveling and Thanksgiving, Christmas. Some people already got their ticket. They bought it early. They got it so they wouldn't have to pay the high price. You can do the same thing in going to heaven. You can purchase your ticket, but you don't decide when you get on the train. When you get on the train, it will be when God says for you to get on the train, but you got to have your ticket, and your ticket is not the day you get baptized in the water, or the day you get a certificate, or the day you become a member of the church. It's the day you give your heart to Jesus Christ. You have to surrender your life to him. Point number three, the Lord's return. He's coming back, y'all. He said he would. If I go away to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Somebody said one time that Abraham was a good man and he was coming. No, he doesn't qualify. Moses saved him coming out of Egypt, but he doesn't qualify. He just physically saved him. Oh, but Jesus Christ, when he came with the intent of dying for a wretch like me, a person that had sinned, had walked away from God, didn't know that God, didn't recognize God as Lord and Savior. He came, he did something for us that nobody else could do for us. He fixed it so we could get back into the presence of the Lord. You couldn't come every time they had sinned in the wilderness. Moses would take a sacrifice and sacrifice something, and then God would let him go. That was just a pacifier until Jesus Christ came along. He's the real meal. He's the real deal. He's the Savior of the whole wide world. Those that will receive him, the Lord will return. He's coming back. And verses 16 through 18, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, not gonna send anybody. I'm coming myself. You know how it is. I listened to a man on the radio the other day talking about some bullies that have been bullying him and his sister when they was in elementary school, and they stand out there in the road while the bully was talking to him, looking up the road, waiting on the daddy to turn the corner in the car to get him, because they said my Savior's coming. Saying they just looked and looked, and didn't look like their daddy was gonna never come. Said, and the bullet would always be gone when the daddy got there. Said, but one day the bullet was still there when the daddy turned the corner. And when the daddy turned the corner, they start hollering and pointing, saying, "Daddy, there he is." And his daddy went and took care of it. See, that's what God's going to do for you. The devil is after your soul, but he can't have it. If Jesus Christ is your daddy, when daddy shows up, he takes care of everything. You know how it is. When dad is in charge, everybody got to do what daddy says. And Jesus Christ is my father. When he comes, the devil can't do me no harm. You can't hurt me. You might kill this body, take this body out of this world, but you can't touch my soul, because my soul belongs to him. The Lord is coming back. I know all the rest of y'all might have made it in without him coming back, but I couldn't have made it without him coming back. He's coming back, If nobody else deserves to come back from, he's coming back for me. I'm glad you asked, because I'm somebody special. I'm his son, and he's coming back for, call me and see if I won't answer. I've called him, y'all, and he's answered my prayer. That's why I'm still alive today, because I called him and he heard my plea, and he left me with a charge. He said, tarry and take care until I come. And when he comes, everything is going to be all right. When Jesus Christ returned to the earth, everything for those that are believers will be all right. Maybe being persecuted, maybe in jail, but when Jesus returns, everything is going to be all right. It's going to be a hallelujah good time. And what I love about him is never going to end. It's always, as the song said, going to be howdy, howdy. Every day going to be Sunday. There will never be goodbye. Always in the presence of the Lord. Good God Almighty, all your loved ones, those that you knew and those that you didn't know, you will see people that are believers that you didn't think were believers, and somebody gonna see you there and wonder why you were there, because to them you are not a believer, but you are not theirs. You belong to Jesus Christ. He's coming back, and when he comes back, he's coming back at a ready church. You need to be ready. You need to be ready, because you don't know when he comes. It said, no man knows the hour of the day that he shall return. Y'all have to excuse me, but Jesus Christ didn't know when he going to come back. He's just there, sitting on ready. When the daddy says, go, son, he's gone, and he's coming. Listen, listen to me. Brothers and sisters, we need to be ready today. Now is the time. Don't wait to get ready. Get ready now while you yet have time. Because once death knocks on your door, it's found. It's found. If you're not ready, it's too late. If you're ready, you're in time. But you need to be ready. And that's why sometimes I have to tell myself, you have a responsibility. And that is the responsibility to teach God's word. If I teach this word, or if you teach this word, and nobody receives it, their blood will not be on your hand when you stand in front of God. That's why I preach this word. That's why I teach this word. Because when I get in the presence of God, I want to hear him say, well done. You did the very best that you could with what you had. We need to each one, and God will equip you to do what he needs for you to do. But you have to trust in him and know that he will not have you to do something that you cannot do. If you can do it in your own power, then it's not God. It's you. It's you. If you need God for you to do what you do, then you will allow him to use you. But if you can do it yourself, you don't need God. Then you can save yourself. Uh-huh. And there's some of us that think that. I can do this. I don't need God help. You keep thinking that. When the judgment day come, he'll say, depart from me, because I never knew you. In 16 through 18, God himself is coming. And it says that we which are alive. Paul was speaking it to them as it's now. Then we which are alive shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. In one time in my thinking, I had a problem with the dead getting there before me. I don't have that problem anymore because I understand something. The dead in Christ have gone through something that the alive in Christ have not gone through. And God, those that have to do more suffering, God has a tendency to put more love towards them. He's blessing them because they did not allow themselves. They lived long enough to know that they needed God all of their lives. See, our life with God starts at the point that we accept him. But he's had us in his hands all the time. Those whom I hold in my hand, the devil in hell can't pluck them from asunder. And some of us, most of us, if not all of us, the devil have tried to get you out of the hands of God. I heard you when you asked. Because he would tempt you to come. It's so much better over here. It looks like it's going to rain out there today. Don't go. It's been raining every other day. Don't go out there today. Don't put on your new suit and go out there today. Stay home. That's trying to get you out of the hands of God. Because if most of you are like me, if I miss one Sunday, it's easy to miss the next one. Now, that doesn't apply to meals with me. It might apply. If I miss one meal, I'm going to get another. I'm going to get the next one. But with attending church, and if I miss one, it's easier to miss another one. But he's trying to get you to come away from where you are. But we need to know that the reward for serving God is greater than what Satan has for you. Turn over in Revelation and read it, and you'll see what happens to him. And if you want to go with him, you have the choice of going with him. But I want to spend eternity with Christ. So I'm going to serve Christ. And I'm selfish and I like company. I'm going to try to take as many people with me as I can. I'm going to try to take as many people with me as I can. And by that I mean I'm going to live, Deacon Jones, so God can use me anytime, any place, and anywhere. That's how we need to live. And when you live like that, God can use you. But you have to know that he's coming back. He's coming back again. Because he said so. And brothers and sisters, I do believe this. I don't know when and I don't know where. But I believe it's closer now than it was yesterday. Because he have blessed us to see another day. And he's coming back. The way the world is now, it won't be long. It won't be long. And each one of us have the choice to make for ourselves. You make the choice for yourself. You decide whether you're going to go back with him or he's going to tell you to depart from me. I never knew you. I'm through. Extend an invitation. If you do not know Jesus Christ,